Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
Every single day I come in here, I think about winning. You know, I don't do this year round to come in and not make the playoffs. I'm sick of that shit, and I want to keep winning.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined as always by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. The 3-3 Las Vegas Raiders getting ready to head to Chicago to take on the Bears. Chance to get over 500. But we'll start with the news. They will not have their starting quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. He is out with that back injury that sent him to the hospital in the middle of last week's game against the Patriots. I think we kind of expected this, probably just the nature of him being sent to the hospital. And as of Monday, still kind of not really knowing what the situation was with him. We don't know who will start in his place, whether it'll be Aiden O'Connell getting the full week of reps and practice and getting the start, or whether they will go with Brian Hoyer. But I mean, what initial reaction to Garoppolo being out? This is going to be, now we're 7 games in, this is the second start that he's missed.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's not too much of a surprise given the serious nature of the injury, even though it seems he, you know, avoided internal damage. I mean, anytime you go to the hospital, it's not anything minor. Not a huge surprise for him to be out this week, or to have, you know, injury issues early this season. I mean, you know, unfortunately, this has kind of been the norm for him throughout his career. It's not necessarily ever like the same injury over and over. It's a bunch of different body parts. And, you know, first time was a concussion, this time is his back. And, you know, we'll see if it extends beyond this week. But it doesn't seem like it's going to be a, you know, super long-term injury or anything of that nature. But obviously the timing of it isn't great. I mean, no injury is great timing, but he's sort of, I feel like it's disrupted, you know, his ability to kind of find his place and get the offense going. I mean, he missed all the OTAs due to the foot injury, you know, missing games early in the season. Hasn't really, you know, the offense has just looked out of sync, especially the passing offense. And him not being out there obviously makes it tricky to sort of get over that. And so, even though it doesn't appear to be a long-term injury, probably going to feed into the offense still having some struggles here early in the season.
Yeah, I think the timing is good. Obviously, they won 2 in a row. They're playing the Bears, who are terrible, have a new quarterback and Taylor Bagent, who, you know, I'm sure the bar is pretty low for him. So I think it's just a game they feel they can win.
Get his name right. Get Tyson's name right. Come on, he's your
I said Taylor?
He's the pride of West That's Virginia, just like you. Come on.
I was so worried about his last name. I've been saying Bagent all week. I forgot a guy's last name right, Bagent. I screwed up his first name. That's classic.
Did you forget about the lovely time you had in West Virginia?
Like, I'm telling you, I was focused on his last name. I was so locked in on Bagent. I screwed up the first name.
I've got some good West Virginia stats on him that I'll bring up later.
I can't wait. That's going to be great podcasting. But anyway, they should be able to beat the Bears, whether it's O'Connell or Hoyer. Or maybe, how about this? How about use both? Kind of like the Illuminor Munford rotation. Kind of use both guys back and forth.
No.
I like that idea. But so plus they get an extra day off. They get the Lions coming up on Monday night. So another day for Jimmy to get ready. So take your time, relax, you know, sit on the couch, watch the Bears game, and get back next week.
As of right now, we don't have confirmation whether it's going to be Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell. They're kind of playing that game they did like last time.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they even know for sure. Maybe they're still having like a really feisty quarterback competition in practice this week. I think it's a tough call for me. I mean, obviously they went with O'Connell last time, but you could argue that Hoyer probably played the best of any quarterback this season in this half of play. Didn't turn the ball over, had the best pass of the year to the Tuckers. So maybe he earned a start. Who knows? But we'll see on Sunday.
He made a couple of nice throws. I mean, he had that one to Tucker, but that was kind of a game planned, like way to get Tucker open on a deep shot. I think O'Connell probably could have made that throw too. He made a one really, really nice throw to Davante Adams into like quadruple coverage, which Adams probably liked. But I mean, he obviously didn't have much of a chance to do too much. And I don't think you want Hoyer doing too much anyways. But yeah, to me, I thought Aiden O'Connell probably could have made a couple of throws that he made in that game. And I would go with the young guy and just continue to see what he could do and try to get him to get a little bit more experience. But that's just me.
All right. Well, no matter which quarterback they go to, and we'll get into more of that later, you wonder how involved will Davante Adams be after he expressed his frustration on Wednesday. And, you know, we talked about it last week where after the Packers game where you could tell he was frustrated. He expressed his frustration. And, you know, we discussed here, like, how nuclear would things have gotten had they lost that game? Well, they go and they win another game. They've won two in a row. They're up to 500, but he's got 9 targets in the last 2 games. He did not talk after that win over the Patriots, and he did talk Wednesday and, you know, acknowledged his frustration. That, and Tashawn, you know, you kind of summarized how you read his comments, and here on Thursday morning, Davante basically said, yes, that is exactly how I feel. And the point here is that, because I know a lot of people were trying to get mad at Davante because they're implying, well, hey, you've won the last 2 games, shut up, it doesn't matter. And the point that I think we've made is, like, yeah, they've won, but, I mean, they're beating the Packers and the Patriots. Like, he's not interested in, like, scraping by and beating bad teams. Like, he wants his team to be a team that can make some noise. And if they're going to make some noise, their offense has to be a lot better, which has been among the worst in the league this year. If their offense is going to be better, having, you know, one of the top 2 or 3 receivers in the league be a major part of it is a mandatory.
Yeah, it's pretty common sense stuff. It's weird because it's what fans have been saying in our comment sections and replies online the last couple of wins is, you know, I mean, they're barely beating these bad teams. The offense stinks and they wonder what's going on. And Davante says it and everybody kind of loses their mind for some reason. I don't really understand the difference there. But clearly, you know, I mean, for a struggling offense to turn around, you need to get Davante Adams the ball more consistently. I think that's the key phrasing of it, because he does have a lot of overall targets for the season, but it's kind of skewed because he had like a 20 target game, he has a 13 target game, and then he has like games against the Packers where he only has 4 targets. Like, it's like Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, and even within that Packers game, he has 4 targets, 3 came on 1 drive. So outside of that one drive, they targeted him 1 other time. So it's like they had 1 drive where they focused on him, and then the rest of the game, he was just a decoy.
Yeah, and it's not like there's a bunch of times where he's just running wide open and they don't throw him the ball. It's not an intentional thing, but you know, teams are doubling him a lot and providing safety help and doing all kind of funky things in coverage. But like, that's always been the case with Davante Adams. And obviously he's made 3 first team all pros in a row. Like, it hasn't stopped him. Like, even when he's well covered, he's still a guy that can make catches, contested catches, or just find ways to beat the defender in those situations. And so that's not an excuse to go away from him. And again, you know, and the point that he's making, you know, it'd be one thing if the offense was averaging 35 and they were kind of cooking without him and it didn't really matter, but like, the offense sucks right now. And so it just doesn't make sense to go these super long, like they're going like entire quarters or entire halves with him having 0 or 1 or 2 targets. Like, it just doesn't really make any sense. And like, that's both on, you know, Josh McDaniels as a play caller, and also, you know, the quarterback for not being willing to make some of those, or try to make some of those tough passes, or maybe when the picture isn't as clear as it's been, you know, some other places in his career. You know, it kind of takes 2 to tango on that front.
Yeah, I think if the offense was scoring a lot of points and they were winning, I think he'd be a lot different. I think the fact they had 19 points before Max's safety last week, first time they've gotten over 20 points all year long, clearly they should be a lot better. I mean, they have Davante Adams, they got Myers is having a good season. You got Trey Tucker and Michael Mayer kind of taking a step up recently. So there should be enough weapons in this offense to kind of help Josh Jacobs get going and to score some points. So I think that he's definitely frustrated about that. And clearly he is an elite, you know, top 5, I think top 1, but we'll say play safe top 5 receiver in the NFL. That kind of mandates, you know, at least 8-10 targets a week. I think it has an obligation. If you have the kind of guy on your roster, that's kind of an obligation. You have to give him the ball that many times, or else you're not doing it right. I mean, that's why he's there to make plays. If you're not giving him a chance to make plays, then you're not doing it right.
While the defense is better than it's been in a while, like, it's not like they're like the 2000 Ravens or something like that. Like, you know, like, eventually if your offense can't score 20 points, you're going to lose some of these games that you should win. I mean, it's already happened, you know, to them this season. Like, you know, because people are saying like, you know, that they win, like, what does it matter if they win by one or by 20? It's not so much about the margin. It's just the sustainability of it. Like, you can only win so many games if your offense can't score 20 points. Like, you're not about to be a 12-win team if that's the case. And that's the type of winning he wants to have. He doesn't want them to be 8-9 or 9-8. And while we think that's probably what they're going to end up being, like, if that's the opposite is going to happen, then offense got to get rolling here.
Watching back last game, there were definitely some opportunities to get Adams the ball. Like you said, they weren't wide open downfield opportunities, but I mean, just pepper him the ball a little bit on a hitch route, you know, get him the ball on the screen, throw him the ball on a slant, but don't get him killed. You know, just little opportunities like that. But man, I mean, he's brave if he wants more targets after taking a few of the shots he's taken this season. But the problem is, like, to beat double teams, you mostly have to go deep because, like, you can't beat double teams going short a bunch. Thinking back on that Chiefs game when he beat bracket coverage and got downfield and Carr got out of the pocket and threw him a deep pass, you know, you got to beat bracket coverage by beating the safety downfield. And these quarterbacks that are on the roster aren't really going to make that throw. They're not going to extend. They're not going to force it into double coverage. Maybe Aiden O'Connell, but, you know, we haven't seen enough of him just yet. Usually when teams are showing double to Davante Adams, they're going to look away from him. They just aren't really capable of making that throw. I'm not saying that they won't do it once in a while, but it's just not in their arsenal to do it on a consistent basis.
You know what really doesn't make any sense is we talk about how, like, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to try to make those tight window throws, do all that kind of stuff. Like, he's not going to throw to a double cover Davante Adams. The dude leads the league in interceptions. Who cares? Like, at that point, like, you're throwing picks no matter what. You almost have to start just throwing out some one read plays where it's just like the ball goes to Davante and, like, Jimmy, that's where you have to throw it. We have to get this guy involved. You know, we've got to test him deep early. You know, you almost just have to make those one read throws where it's just like that's what you have to do. I mean, not like he's being super careful with the ball anyway. He leads the league in interception rate. He leads the league in interceptions. I mean, he's turning the ball over left and right when he is out there. So what the hell, what are you protecting?
That's the Jimmy Garoppolo conundrum. It's like he's conservative, but three times a game, he is definitely not conservative. And he'll make, like, the most, you know, like, boneheaded throw that you could make in a situation. High risk, no reward type throws. I agree. Like, there's times where you're going to have to just take those chances. But the problem is, like, Garoppolo's never really been good at balancing that, you know, playing that balancing act throughout his career.
I've always described him as he makes the rookie mistakes without the rookie upside.
That's harsh.
Ain't it true? Is it not true?
We've watched him for a long time. Me and Jimmy had to watch him for a long time. All right. We've seen this.
I thought I was finally getting off that train.
None of this is, like, new stuff. That's the thing. It's just like, I mean, that's why Adams is pissed off in the offseason about the direction that they're going in. Like, you know, he was speaking around it. I know he backtracked it later, but, like, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. Like, we can see what he meant there. And, you know, it's, and again, like, I don't want to act like obviously the offense last year wasn't what they anticipated it being. Like, it was still a top 15 unit, but they weren't efficient. Derek Carr threw too many interceptions. So, like, I can get one to make a quarterback change, but, like, you would hope that it's a guy that's either a clear upgrade or, like, has the potential to be an upgrade one day. And it's just, at best, it's going to be a linear move. And so far this season, it's been a pretty significant downgrade. And it's just, the solutions that we're coming up with are basically Garoppolo becoming something he's never shown us he's been before. So, like, I don't know what happens here.
And the problem is, it's not only a downgrade, like, there's no upside to this. And it's not that much of a downgrade to where you could get, like, a super high pick. And he's still good enough to win you games. And then you're just stuck in purgatory.
He's going to rest up his back. He's going to do some stretching. He's going to come back, start throwing the ball deep just to shut you guys up. It's going to be great. Just can't wait.
I can't wait either. I'd love to see it.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the win over the Patriots. An ugly win, which, I mean, I know for Raider fans, it's like, at the term that you it's hard to use because, I mean, there is a degree of the NFL where you take wins however you get them, and this team is 3-3 now. They have a chance to get to 4-3 against the Bears, and you just kind of accept that. You take that. But we also know, like we said, the sustainability of that. You know, we saw them in 2021 go 10-7 by kind of winning that way, and then you saw what happened a year later. So, but we don't want to discount a win. I mean, you win a game in the NFL, especially the way the defense has played. They've been able to clinch the last two wins, getting the interception by Amik Robertson 2 weeks ago, and then the sack by Bilal Nichols and Max Crosby to clinch this game against the Patriots. You've got to be encouraged by the way the defense is showing up, and you know they're not, you know, a top 10 unit by any means, by any statistic or anything like that, but we've always talked about if they can be a league average defense, this team should be pretty good with what we have expected to be a top 10 offense. Obviously, that's not what we have right now, but the defensive signs are encouraging, and Patrick Graham's got to be feeling happy about the direction.
Yeah, I think last year they lost those games, you know, to Jeff Saturday and the Colts, who lost the game to the Rams. Two awful teams, two awful, awful, awful losses. And that, those are kind of some of the games they just won this past 2 weeks. So I think that's definitely a positive that they have not been sharp offensively. But the defense has taken a small, I'm not going to say a big, a small step up other than from last year. I think Max Crosby's playing at even a higher level, which is, I'm not sure it's possible, but he's been incredible. I think he kind of carries the whole D-line on his back, and the linebackers have been solid. Secondary's been pretty solid, not giving up too many big plays, so tip your cap there. So I think all you can do is beat the teams you play, and they played two really bad teams in the last 2 weeks, and they beat them both. They got one more coming up. They got a really bad Bears team, so they're going to be, I mean, odds are they're going to be 4-3, and a lot of that's due to the defense being a little better than it was last year.
Yeah, I know there's a few guys in the mix, you know, kind of for this imaginary award, but I feel like Max Crosby's like playing like pretty much the best edge rusher in the league right now. I mean, between, you know, what he's doing from a pass rush perspective, you know, there's guys that have more sacks, but he's pretty much up there amongst anybody with total pressures. And also what he does in the run game. I mean, he's really a disruptive force between tackles for loss and just holding up well on the edge. And that's, you know, I think that's probably what impresses me the most. I think we saw right away as a rookie, like he had success as a pass rusher, but run defense wasn't exactly his specialty. And now he's one of the best run defenders in the league. And so just a complete player, obviously he leads the defense, one of the leaders of the team. And the rest of the defensive line still isn't doing all that much. Like, I know they got a couple of sacks from the interior guys, but like if you look at their pressure rate and things of that nature and their run defense, like it's still some question marks up front. Like you want to see that more out of Tyree Wilson and some of the interior guys. But, you know, Max Crosby's been so good that it, you know, hasn't mattered in some of these situations. I think the linebackers have been solid. Robert Spillane, Devon Diablo, like they haven't been spectacular, but they've been decent. The secondary, like you said, they've limited explosive plays. And so given the talent that they have, which isn't great, like I don't know how much more you could ask out of this defense right now. And, you know, that's the biggest positive, you know, so far throughout the season. They just kind of need the offense to catch up a little bit.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Michael Mayer, they finally are starting to get him involved. 5 catches, 75 yards. You saw them, especially early in the game. They were targeting, getting him involved. And, you know, and I know he said it's the week before they threw to him on that opening drive. And he talked about how getting the ball early in the game just kind of established his confidence, not only in catching the ball, but in blocking and basically just getting him, you know, kind of being able to calm everything down and just really kind of get his confidence going in all aspects. So that's something we've been wanting to see, and it is something we are starting to see. And you know, we need to start seeing this draft class be able to produce something. We're not getting much out of Tyree Wilson right now, not seeing a whole lot out of him. So to see Michael Mayer start to produce, that is another positive sign on this team.
You know, there's a bunch of people, the fantasy community out there, that are all like using their waiver wires on Michael Mayer, but I don't expect him to have these type of games too often. You know, I think the way the Patriots played him, the way things kind of turned out, like he wasn't the first read on a ton of these plays. So I think he will have some games, but the most encouraging thing to me is that he looked quick. You know, like that was one of the things that I was worried about with how his speed would translate into the NFL. I mean, obviously he's not going to be running away from people with his 40 time, but he looked pretty quick out there. And that was the key thing. He had that nice run after catch on that shallow cross. And then he had another third down target where they put him outside against a corner and he was able to create a little separation. Hoyer couldn't quite hit him because of pressure. So that was the encouraging thing. I think, you know, for his future outlook, the fact that he looks like his athleticism belongs on a field is a big thing, because it was a question mark for me just because he wasn't, you know, he looked a little slow in college.
Yeah, he got some yak. He definitely had some, he showed his offensive basketball moves from when he was a big-time basketball player growing up in Kentucky, and I obviously can run guys over as well. He's got some power, so definitely a dangerous guy after the catch. And the speed, I think, is more of a concern. Maybe getting it open, you know, against some tougher coverage, like you mentioned, he had some softer coverage this game. So I wouldn't give him in fantasy. I think he's clearly going to be your third or fourth option. But still, as a guy, definitely, if you throw him the ball, he's shown that he can make plays.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's the nature of rookie tight ends. Like, they tend to be more up and down, and I think that's fine. I think the bigger takeaway is just him showing these flashes and these signs of promise that he can develop into a guy that, you know, in the years to come can become a more consistent contributor for him. And so he's going to have his week-to-week up and downs, both as a receiver and as a blocker. Like, that comes along with it. But just the fact that he's flashing, I think, is something that you got to be encouraged about.
All right, well, turning our attention to Chicago, obviously, we like we said earlier, we don't know who is going to start at quarterback. We know how they handled it against the Chargers, where it was kind of kept close to the vest. We kind of presumed it would be Brian Hoyer, but, you know, Josh McDaniels and ultimately end up saying, like, no, we were able to get Aiden O'Connell that full week of practice reps, and we were able to, you know, get him up to speed on the game plan. We were able to game plan for him, and we wanted him to go out there. That was before we had seen what Brian Hoyer could do in a game. And again, he was mildly encouraging what he did there against the Patriots. And if he does start this game, it is in the same stadium that he won his last game as a starting quarterback, which was, as of today, Thursday, it was 2,573 days ago that he last won a game as a starting quarterback. So add what, 4 days to that? If he does get a chance to start in Chicago, he is a former Bear. Maybe he can recover that, rekindle some of that magic from when he last won a game over 2,500 days ago.
Yeah, magic is an interesting word there. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, because Brian came in the game, you know, in the second half. It seemed like his assignment was very much so, like, don't fuck it up. You know, I mean, they had a 10-point lead. They just started running the ball a lot, even though they can't run the ball. And, like, his pass outside of the deep shot, you know, it was pretty conservative in terms of the areas of the field that he was targeting. And Aiden O'Connell, you know, he was kind of wild out there against the Chargers. I mean, he fumbled the ball 3 times, lost 2 of them, threw an interception at the end of the game. Held the ball too long. So it's kind of that, you know, he's going to have those super low moments, you know, as he works through his rookie growing pains. That's really what a team in the Bears situation needs to be able to win this game. I mean, with Justin Fields, the offense was pretty bad. Without him, like, I can only imagine what it's going to look like. And so really the only way that the Bears can get into this one is if they force some turnovers, some sudden change situations, some short fields, and O'Connell may be more liable to give them some of those than Hoyer at this point. And so, you know, while I do think there's more value in getting O'Connell reps and experience, like, if they don't trust him as a coaching staff and they know him way better than we do to not fuck up, basically, then I can kind of understand the logic behind just starting Hoyer and running the ball a lot and throwing the ball to Devontae a lot and hoping you can, you know, win a low scoring one over the Bears.
This team is not good enough to just run the ball a lot. Yeah, I think they might be able to just get away with being ultra conservative and winning against this Bears team without Justin Fields. I mean, you know, Justin Fields still offers like an explosive element, and without him there, this offense is going to be pretty stagnant, likely. And the Bears defense is not great. They've played a lot better the last 2 weeks, but even in the last 2 weeks, they've been like 18th in defensive success rate. So not great, but I don't think they're bottom of the league bad. So I think you could probably move the ball on them. But the problem with the Raiders have been in a red zone in this game against the Patriots. Last game against the Patriots, I mean, Josh McDaniels was so conservative. It was just run, pass. And then by the time you're passing, you're trying to pass from the 11-yard line in the red zone, which is difficult. I think that might be the same approach that they take into this Bears game. So it's going to be a bunch of field goals. And, you know, if you do that and you let a team hang around, who knows what's going to happen. But, I mean, if Hoyer does start, then you kind of know what the philosophy is going to be, you know, going into this game.
I think it's good because I think we'll finally know exactly what the coaches thought about O'Connell's first start. Because obviously, he said some nice things. He got better as the game went on, but clearly held the ball too long. If that's something else, maybe his first game nerves or maybe an issue they got to work on and practice more and on the side. But we're going to find out this week. If they start Hoyer, clearly they thought that he's, you know, a better fit to win this game. And O'Connell may not have been as ready as they thought he was back against the Chargers. So I think that'll be good to learn exactly where they stand on him. If they think he's maybe a potential starter in this league or a potential, you know, long-term backup. So, like I said, I think Hoyer had the best throw of the season to Tucker. I think he ripped it. And that's a very decisive strong throw. We haven't deep. We haven't seen from either guy besides him. So, yeah, it'll be fun to find out what they think.
I think the tough thing when you're a rookie like O'Connell, who's in this backup slash third string role, is I think in that game against the Chargers, you know, obviously he started really bad. In the second half, he found a rhythm and he played pretty well in spurts. Obviously he had the interception, which, you know, Ted detailed the poor play design on that, you know, earlier. And that's where it would be nice to like have a chance to try to build off of that. So, I mean, you know, if you do go back to him, it's an opportunity to kind of build off that. But, you know, we do know that McDaniels said earlier this week that, you know, this, they're not making this decision based on what's best for development or anything. It's just about who is their best opportunity to win this game. And when you're 3-3 and you're in the situation that the Raiders are in, where, you know, you want to try to stack up as many wins as possible, that is an understandable position to be in.
You guys think it matters? Would you rather go O'Connell, and if he struggles, bring in Hoyer, or vice versa, he's a Hoyer, if he struggles, then you bring in the young guy? And do you think it matters which way you would go?
I think it's easier to bring in Hoyer. I think it's easier to bring in Hoyer if the young guy struggles. It's hard to, like, go call on the rookie off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, given the way they've handled this season, I mean, they've, you know, Hoyer's been the backup because they trust him more to, like, step in suddenly in the middle of a game. So you would think it would make more sense to start O'Connell. And then if he's, you know, struggling out there, then, I mean, you've been trusting Hoyer to do that all season. Have him fill that role instead.
Or you go back and forth like Mumford and Illuminor. That's the way you got to go, man. Rotate every series, man. Get the Bears off balance.
You just want Sunday to be a mess? You trying to get some hectic shit going on for us?
Didn't you hear McDaniels' explanation for that? Is that it was about, you know, because when they would go to the jumbo package, if you come in as the eligible receiver, you have to come out for a play, so...
I'm not sure Josh is always honest in his answers, but how about this? How about you rotate the quarterback and the right tackle together? They come in together, and you bring them. Oh, that's awesome, dude. I love that.
I mean, they might as well do centers too, right? It's flip flopping Dylan Parham and Andre James.
Lions not playing well. I mean, just let's try some new stuff. I'm not against that.
We'll make it like a high school game where they don't have the radios to call in. And I mean, I know,
ooh, yeah.
I know the way that we did it, like literally a guy would run from the sideline with a play call from the coach and bring it in to the quarterback. So you could just have that next quarterback just there. Like you tell him you whisper it in his ear. Here's the play call. Go run it in.
Whisper it in his ear.
Anytime when you could get two athletes like Hoyer and O'Connell on the field together, you got to do it.
Ooh. I like that too.
One take I had from the Patriots game is I thought the Raiders running game finally got going a little bit and they started running a lot more outside zone. And it makes sense because they aren't getting a great push and they do have some athletic guys. So maybe outside zone is the way to go. I know historically Josh McDaniel and the Patriot guys, they love running like, you know, 10 different run concepts. But maybe you just commit to outside zone and start running because you got some of your best runs of the season running outside zone. And they got some nice ones from Mumford as the sixth offensive lineman on the edge too. So, you know, maybe that's the way to go. Just commit to one run concept, one system, and then maybe you get this run game going a little bit.
I was going to say, it's individual runs, I guess, but I don't – average like 3 yards a carry, so I don't know in terms of
– Well, outside zone, it was an 8-yard carry. There was a 5, a 4, ooh, an 18-yard carry off outside zone.
Yeah, I mean, Josh did have that nice
– Yeah, separate the splits.
Yeah, he's had a couple nice runs the last couple of weeks, but I'm still not a believer in the –
It was the, you know, when they start doing duo or draw or ISO, those are the runs that are like, they get nothing because they get no push. They just don't get any push up the middle. So that's why I think maybe outside zone where you don't have to be quite as physical as far as vertical push, you know, that might be the way to go for this run game. Not that I don't think it's going to get close to the heights it reached last year, but at least, you know, get to that kind of average range.
That's where they go with the Hoyer Mumford combo because you get the threat of the push from Mumford and the deep ball throw from Hoyer. I like it, man. I like it.
Can we rotate in Samir White? Get him.
I mean, they did. Yeah. They did last game. They did.
Yeah, he got a whole 2 carries for 2 yards. He's on a roll this year.
Got to keep Josh Jacobs fresh when he goes to their team next year.
We got the Yannick Ngakoue revenge factor in this game too. Yeah. Remember what Khalil Mack did, you know, Ngakoue is going to be looking to do the same.
Dude, I totally forgot Ngakoue was on the Bears.
Andrew Billings, too.
And yeah, he's playing well. Wow,
Andrew
Billings.
Yeah, he's playing well.
I got to change my pick. God damn it.
as we're talking about this quarterback rotation that Vic has brilliantly come up with, I mean, the Raiders still might have, should have the quarterback advantage in this matchup, going up against your guy, Tyson Bagent, who, I'll give you the West Virginia stat here, Vic. He will be the first person born in West Virginia to start at quarterback in the NFL since Joe Gilliam Jr., who started 7 games for the Steelers in 1973 and 74. That's according to our Chicago columnist John Greenberg. But Gilliam's kind of a fraud because he was born in Charleston, West Virginia, while his dad was going to school there, but he grew up in Tennessee. So this is a big moment for your all your friends back in West Virginia.
His dad's like a champion arm wrestler, right?
Yeah, he is a 17-time world champion, the greatest arm wrestler in the history of the world.
That is awesome.
Does he have a West Virginia accent?
What is that? Do you know what?
I don't know.
You recognize that off top? Do you just?
This is a thing, right, Vic? You were there.
That's something you like? You like those kind of accents?
Just wondering.
I don't know. I haven't talked to him, but probably. Probably loves John Denver like I do. Don't get me singing again.
Yeah, I mean, Raiders defense, I'm putting faith in them. Like, they should be able to lock up this Bears offense. I mean, they've sucked even with Justin Fields, with our mans from West Virginia. Like, I don't have much faith in them. Like, their offensive line sucks. They run the ball pretty well. So I guess that's one thing. The Raiders defense, for its improvement, it's still a little bit susceptible to the run game. And so, if they can get that going, maybe their offense has a chance. But I think it's going to be a ugly day for the Bears on offense.
Yeah, the one fear, I think, is DJ Moore. Obviously, he's shown he can be a game breaker. I'm not sure, like you talked about, the cornerbacks have been solid. But I'm not sure it's up for really taking him on. I mean, Marcus Peters seems like a bad matchup. So, yeah, he goes one of the young guys, I guess. But he's dangerous. There are not a lot of dangerous guys in this Bears team, but he's definitely one of them.
Yeah, I mean, and the Raiders have had lapses when it comes to tackling, you know, open field, kind of on those short passes that get turned into long gains, like the one that comes to mind last week. It got called back because of penalty, but like Ezekiel Elliott ran 80 yards at his old age. So DJ Moore, he's pretty dangerous yards after the catch. And also Trey Tucker's college teammate, Tyler Scott, has some speed on him too. So those are a couple of things. I guess the Bears might catch him a couple of times, but it's just hard for me to imagine him like stringing together a bunch of sustained success on offense.
You know, and they've also got Cole Kmet, who, as we all know, was kind of tangentially part of the Khalil Mack trade. That was the second round pick from the Khalil Mack trade. That's they used that in Cole Kmet.
All these angles, man. Ngakoue, Kmet, man, all these Raiders angles.
Big storylines. All right, well, let's make our predictions. Who wants to lead off? I'll go first this time. I'm 5-1 on my picks this year. I'm feeling pretty good.
Oh. You hit that top of mine.
Oh. 5-1.
And I'll be honest. I mean, I told you guys 2 weeks ago I was gonna, after I picked them to beat the Packers, that I was gonna pick them again to beat the Patriots, and that I was going to pick them to lose this game. And I really thought I just had this gut feeling that they were going to go up against Justin Fields, and Justin Fields was going to turn in one of those performances like Kyler Murray did against them last year, and he was going to run a few crazy plays on them and beat them. But no, without Justin Fields, I am picking a third straight Raiders win, 20-13, back to back 20-point outputs, 20-13.
The last one didn't count. It was a safety, but. Yeah, I got the Raiders winning 21-14. You know, I think the defense does its job once again, you know, locks up a bad offense. And whoever starts at quarterback, I think we're going to see a lot of Davante Adams this week. They don't want him to lose his mind in this game. And maybe Josh Jacobs can get a little bit going in the pass game as well underneath, and, you know, get enough offense going to pull this one out on the road and improve to 4-3.
I'm going to say 19-13. I can't see the red zone offense being that much improved where they could score 2 touchdowns. I think they'll move the ball fine and get into the red zone and stall out. And whoever has Daniel Carlson as a fantasy kicker is going to have a great day. I see the Bears scoring maybe a touchdown and a couple field goals. But I don't see them completely shutting down this Bears running attack. And maybe DJ Moore has a big player too. So 19-13 Raiders.
What's the weather forecast like?
I think it's solid. I think it's solid 50s. Solid. Nothing Shouldn't be too bad.
53, partly sunny. No problems there. It is there's a little bit of rain maybe this afternoon, but all right, partly sunny, 53. So that should make you safe with your Carlson 4 field goals.
You guys all picked the Raiders. You tell me about Ngakoue and Billings trying to get me to switch my side, but I won't do it. I'm going with the Raiders. We all picked the Raiders. We're all going to be right for once. I got 26-20. I also have 4 Carlson field goals. Defense is good enough. I think each quarterback, Hoyer and O'Connell, have touchdown pass this game. So 26-20 Raiders.
How many targets does Devontae Adams have?
18.
Ooh, 18.
I'm going 13.
15.
Hey, how's my 50 sack thing going? are we on pace for 50 sacks? I got to check.
Yeah, let's look that one up right now.
That wasn't, I will give you a mulligan on that one. It was a different time when you made that prediction.
I had Charlie Jones getting like 8 or 9, so that's got to be factored in.
Okay, so are they on track for 40 then?
I don't think so.
Well, Max has got what, 5.5?
It's not that bad, right? They're not like bottom of the league, right? I mean,
they're close to ball pressure 40.
They have 13 sacks.
Yeah.
Which is like
two a game.
It's like 2 a game. So that's like 34, 35.
It's more 2 a game.
It's like 2.16 a game, bro.
Yeah, give me that point. Give me that point.
So they're on pace for 36.83. We'll call it 37 sacks is what they're on pace for.
They're tied for 23rd. It's not bottom of the league.
What if they trade for Ngakoue? Ooh, I like that one too. Bring him back.
what are you going to give up for him?
Like the Bears carry any pick in a bag of a
Hunter Renfro for Ngakoue.
Bag of popcorn and a 4th round pick.
Are you going to send Hunter Renfro from this to the Bears offense? He won't care about him at all, man. That's pretty rough.
I want to see him succeed. Josh McDaniel doesn't want to see him succeed. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, that'll wrap up this week's episode of State of the Nation. We will be back next week to talk about the 4-3 Raiders getting ready for Monday Night Football against the Lions. Well, we'll see how things go Sunday in Chicago against the Bears.
It didn't jinx them at all with that one. All right. See you guys.
Adios, amigos.
Later.
Country roads take me home to the place I belong.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.